We're talking with Kitsy Duncan, author of I'd Rather Talk to Dead People and host of The Oddity Files, about the ins and outs, protocols, the ground rules of ghost hunting. I'm going to hear ask her about some of the spookiest, creepiest places that she's investigated, and we'll open up the phone lines with your questions in just a little bit here on Coast to Coast AM. So, Kitsy, have you ever encountered something demonic? I thought I heard you say that you really hadn't experienced anything quite like that, that maybe the things that you've encountered had just received a bad reputation.
Yes, that's absolutely true. I've never encountered a demon on any investigation. And I've been to, like I said before, places that were known for demonic infestations, if you will.
Well, one of those, I think you write about it, called, it's the Fear Factory. It's a haunted house that's actually rented out as a haunted house, at least in Salt Lake City, right?
Yes, yes. It's an amazing place. It was a concrete plant back in the day, and then it sat abandoned for several years. And then Fear Factory, which is an amazing haunted attraction, took over there. And, yeah, it was this silo there that had been on the big one, the big show on TV, and I don't know if I'm supposed to mention it or not, but I'm not going to. It was known for, you know, being a demons being brought in and summoned in, and I was actually a little nervous going in because my thought is, you know, if there are demons, they're not going to be hanging out in a silo in Salt Lake City. They've got much bigger fish to fry than hanging out in a honky-tonk in Wilder, Kentucky. So I've never bought into that whole thing. And we went in, and we were all a little nervous. My entire crew was nervous walking in. And we ended up having the most profound conversation with the spirit named Linda. And if it's a demon, I don't think her name's going to be Linda, if you know what I'm saying. And she had let us know that they put off this persona as being demons because they thought that's what people want. And I can still hear it every time I retell this story. I still hear it in my head. And she had come across clear as day on my odd box and said, "We are just people." It was, I started crying right there in the middle of the investigation because it was so heartbreaking that these people are coming in and screaming at these spirits, telling them they're demons and go back to hell or whatever it is they're telling them. And there were six spirits there, and they had come there over the years. I believe a lot of homeless used to hang out there when it was abandoned, and there are railroad tracks right outside as well that several people had actually taken their own lives on. So there are a lot of spirits hanging out there. And can you imagine being trapped in this afterlife, people treating you like demons because one cable show said that there were demons there?
So did you offer them kind of therapy? Or did they feel better about this encounter after you let them know that not everybody expects that?
I hope so. I you can't really read their face because you can't see it. They did ask me to tell the owners of the actual location, just let them know there's no demons in there and that it's Linda and her friends. And we did. And we've not been back since. I'd really like to go back and see if things have changed. I sure hope so. Because I mean, my heart felt for this woman.
So I imagine these places that are really known for being haunted or evil spirits or something get trashed, get vandalized, trespassing, people break in, unauthorized entries. Yeah?
I would have to assume so, absolutely. And, you know, you think about it, a lot of these buildings that over the years have been abandoned at some point, and you have those people that are doing their whatever they think their satanic ritual may be of that their choice in these locations. So it's scary to people that don't understand it, and I get that. And I'm not judging these shows or these people for thinking these people are demons or they're scared. They really truly are, and I get that because I've been there.
You get a sense of if they are actually spirits, ghosts, whatever, that they're stuck here for different reasons, and what are the general reasons?
I think it's different for every single one of them. I think some choose to be here. I don't bring religion into it, so I'm not going to try to pass them over to whatever the other side may be at these locations. I'm terrified that if I try to go, okay, walk into the light, you're going to have this woman from a brothel end up haunting a daycare, and that just would not go over very well. So I think some of them choose to be here. I think some of them, like, again, back to Fear Factory, one of the spirits there told us that this was their purgatory. So I don't know. I think it's, like I said, different for every spirit.
There was a sheriff's office that you write about that sounded pretty creepy, involving dead mobsters or ghosts of some pretty, really bad people.
Yes. Jails are intense. I love them. I love to hate them. And I have been known to scream at them a time or two in a jail. But you've got to think of the people that you're dealing with. So Old Lake County Jail and Sheriff's House in Crown Point, Indiana. It's Lake County, Indiana. That's where I grew up. That's where my haunted house was as a kid. It is amazing. It's actually where John Dillinger had escaped from back in the day. Yeah. And we were able to get in and hear the stories. And this was like one of my very first investigations. And I was terrified. Just the vibe you get when you walk into these jails. Think of the people that were there. It's just going to feel mean and ugly. And I was terrified. I've said that 3 times now. So let's move on. So I ended up talking to a spirit. His name was James Fur Sampson. And he was trying to, through communication of a K2 meter, that's the one I was telling you earlier, that if the ghosts or the spirits touch it, it lights up from the energy that they're emitting to it. Through this communication, and the crew, this was before Carter and Clayton come on, and the crew that was with me, it seemed like that spirit was trying to separate me from my crew. By separation, I'm using it loosely because they were on one side of the jail bars. I would have been on the other, but I didn't want to do it. I was terrified. I thought I was going to die. Again, this was early in my career. But come to find out, again, this was probably the turning point in all this. And when it became not so scary, is he was hitting on me. This spirit who was notoriously Al Capone's hitman was trying to separate me from the group because I reminded him of a woman named Harriet when he was alive.
Well, you were kind of flirting back with him, weren't you?
Yeah, I was. I learned my lesson tenfold.
So how did that end up?
Girls got to do what a girl's got to do to get the evidence. You know what I'm saying? He grabbed my ass. He did. I felt it. There was nobody near me, but I had somebody touch my butt. Yeah.
And how did you leave it? Did you have a conversation?
Yeah. So we had to end it. That I've been back several times. That's the one location I will always go back to. I went back a second time, and I'm like, hey, Fur, remember me, and yada, yada, and again, the communication wasn't as intense as it was the time before. We had gone right as the jail opened back up for investigations. So the energy level of the spirits, again, just my theory, I'm making this up as I go, their energy level was much higher than the second time I went back. But I told him, I'm like, well, Fur, I miss you, and I'd like a kiss. Nothing. I'm like, okay, well, I'll leave this cigarette for you if you give me a kiss. Nothing. So we had a brief amount of communication with him, and then it was done. So we decided to move on. I'm disappointed here. I thought I was the love of his life. Apparently I wasn't. But I said, hey, Fur, how about a kiss goodbye? So be careful what you ask for, especially in a jail with Al Capone's hitman. I felt this almost like a flutter of butterfly wings on my lips before I left. there's no way I can document this. You're going to have to take my word on it. But as if he was kissing me goodbye. Absolutely insane.
I had mentioned when we first started our conversation about this voice that you heard as a teenager that said, get out. You heard it again, or you think it's the same voice. What were the circumstances where you heard the same voice again?
So, you know, me, always a glutton for punishment, I bought that house from my parents as an adult and was raising a family there. I was very, very, very young, in my early 20s. And with my first husband, didn't stick with that guy. He could have stayed there with the ghost. But so my son was very colicky. He was about 6 months old, and I was trying the old, you know, Dr. Spock, whatever it was, let him cry himself to sleep. And it just wouldn't stop, and it's breaking my heart. And I'm like, I should get up and get him, but mom says don't, you know, one of those situations. And it's like the early 90s, so those baby monitors, not like the cool ones they have now with, you know, you can watch a video of your child as they sleep. This was just the complete audio version. You had one part of the equipment, well, not equipment, but one piece of it in the baby's room and one piece in your room, so you could hear everything that went on in there. And he's crying and he's crying. And then out of the blue, so I moved into this house that I grew up in and had this experience. And I chose the same bedroom where I heard the noise as the new master bedroom of the house. And my son's crying. And all of a sudden I hear that same voice I heard in my teen years after the Ouija board session come across the baby monitor and in a very gruff, very stern voice, yell at my child and say, shut up. Terrifying. That was it. That was it. I ran up, grabbed my son out of his crib, and needless to say, he slept in my room for several nights. And not long after that, the marriage fell apart and I was able to move out of the house as well.
Tell me about this place, Bobby Mackey's, this bar. Why it is such a popular spot on the Ghost Hunter tour. And did you have to wait to get into that spot?
So Bobby Mackey's is in Wilder, Kentucky. It's a honky tonk, which in layman's terms is a country bar. It's legend and lore goes way back. I guess it was like a meat packing plant before that. And even before that, again, my Chicago roots are showing because I'm crazy about the old mobster days, but it was a mob-run joint as well back in the day. And one of the very first Ghost Adventures episode I'd ever watched was Bobby Mackey's. And, I mean, they went hard, and, you know, they allegedly found demons in the basement down a well. And every other show I watch investigate on the cable shows, and everybody I've ever talked to, oh my God, there's demons at Bobby Mackey. So this the lore goes way back several years. So my co-investigator, Clayton's like, there's no way, I'm never going there. There's demons, never, ever, ever. And then one day out of the blue, he goes, hey, let's check out Bobby Mackey's. And I'm like, okay, get on the line immediately and book it. It was much easier to book than Waverly before Clayton changed his mind. And we went in, and it was wonderful. And it was, I saw a ghost, and I got that ghost on camera. And it was amazing. That spirit confessed to murder. She showed me a memory that wasn't mine. I told her I would protect her. There were no demons, and she followed me home. So I have two spirits that have followed me home throughout this adventure. I told each of them I would protect them. Apparently, any other investigators out there, code word, I will protect you means you can follow me anywhere. That'll be rule number one in this non-existent rule book. But there were no demons. We went down in the basement. Clayton was very uneasy down there, but we talked to children. Wonderful. And the scariest, I don't want to give it away, but something terrifying happened and the entire crew screamed, but I can't tell you what happened.
All right. Well, you know, we do have hear some stories on this program from callers. Our listeners will tell us about experiences they've had with the entities they perceive to be demonic, and some of these are pretty spooky. We've got a caller, first-time caller, Sherry, in Long Beach. Hi, Sherry. You're on with Kitsy Duncan.
Hi, Kitsy. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm wonderful. I'm glad you brought up the demon aspect of what you're talking about. The unfortunate thing is when you ask something to follow you, even with protection, you know, I'm number one, I'm Christian, okay? And every time I have dabbled with Ouija boards or doing EVPs, I get back such clear demonic voices that I let people listen to it and they just walk away from me like, I don't want to have anything to do with you. So there's another side to this, and I just want to warn all the listeners, all the Coast listeners, and I love George, and I love you guys. I can't even believe I'm on, but, and you too, George. but just be very careful what you ask for and what you dabble in and where you go. What happened at Bobby Mackey's, it goes back to a father and a family, and there were children that were heinously murdered in that basement, heinously murdered, and it is a demonic place. And I just make sure you pray for protection from the Lord Jesus, because I'm telling you right now, evil is very pervasive in our society right now, and we're in a very scary time. And as a world population, I just want to tell everybody to pray for everybody right now.
Well, let's listen to what Kitsy had a different experience there at that place. But Kitsy, what do you got to say to Sherry?
So just my thought on these voices that come over that sound demonic, or people that feel like they're being pushed downstairs or being attacked by these spirits. This, my thought on this is these are spirits trying to communicate with you. And sometimes it's trial and error for them, just like it is for us to get the evidence that we're trying to get. Maybe it sounds like a demonic voice because they're trying so hard just to be heard that it sounds like they're screaming. Now, I know I've been in a location and I feel like they can't hear me, I get a little louder. Just open your mind up a little bit, and maybe it's just them trying very, very hard to communicate with you.
Sherry, thanks for the call. And Kitsy, do you know, were kids murdered in the basement of that place? Did you ever find out anything about that?
The place I was talking about where the legend and lore was all debunked was Bobby Mackey's. So no, not to my knowledge, there is no written proof on that.
I'd like to ask, we're going to go to a break here in about 30 seconds, but I'd like to ask you about the wish list of the holiest of holies. If you had your choice of places you'd like to investigate, what the top three or four of those would be. And then I want to ask you about EVP technology, because I'm never quite sure whether it's legit or not. You had some pretty good examples in the episodes that I watched of sounds that were pretty clear, but how that works, what the legitimacy of it is, and I want to get into that in our next segment. Talking with Kitsy Duncan, I'd Rather Talk to Dead People, her book, her journey as a paranormal researcher, and the host of The Oddity Files, and we'll be right back. We're talking with ghost hunter Kitsy Duncan, hearing some of her adventures in communicating with some kind of entities in these strange buildings. The question becomes, what ghost stories do you have? What haunted houses have you lived in? Give us a call and share your stories with us. And I want to hear from Kitsy about if she had any choice of any haunted building or hotel or house or a bit of rubble or hole in the ground, what would it be? Where would she like to go? We're going to hear that in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM. So, Kitsy, what's your wish list?
Top of the list, absolutely 100% the White House. From what I understand, Abraham Lincoln haunts there. How cool would that be to have a conversation with Abraham Lincoln? Second up, Alcatraz, just because the building is stunning. The fact that it's on the water has to lend to the energy levels there that lends to the spirit activity. I have any castle in the UK, 1,000,000%. That's my list.
everything in the UK, Scotland, Ireland, that's all haunted, right?
Oh, has to be. I mean, they've been there forever.
Yeah. We'll go to the phones, see what's on people's minds. First-time caller John in Toledo. Good morning, John.
Hello.
How you doing? You're on with Kitsy Duncan.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to say that when I became a Wiccan, I learned about scrying with a pendulum. And I worked for a security company, and I worked I used to work at a hospice. And so I used to talk to dead people all the time with the pendulum until a nurse saw me doing it and creeped her out. And so I got reassigned. I just wanted to say that the spirits that you're talking to, if they want to be humans again, they should go to a pregnant woman. And a gestating baby is a magnet for the souls, and they can be reborn and come back.
I have never heard that before.
Well, thank you, John. Thanks for sharing that. Well, there's one to tuck away. I mean, you're learn on the job, right, Kitsy? I mean, it's not something.
I learn something new every day. I appreciate you, George.
Jim in South Carolina on the wild card line. Hi, Jim. Good morning. You're on with Kitsy Duncan.
Good morning. My question is about EVPs. I've heard some rather convincing EVPs, but I think one of the best arguments against an EVP is with all the ham DJs throughout history, have you ever heard an EVP over a radio station?
That's actually what my spirit box is a way for spirits to communicate via radio stations. It's said that spirits can take white noise, voices, things like that, and manipulate it to say what they want to.
Thank you, Jim, for that. So I was going to ask about EVP. How often do you get that? Is that in every haunting, every investigation, you get some sort of EVP words? And sometimes it seems like it's pretty hard to make out what's being said.
Absolutely. So there's EVP stands for electronic voice phenomenon. And when I think EVP, I think of, you know, the old school voice recorder, and it's just hoping to capture something you didn't hear with your own ears. I never get those. I don't know why. And if I do, I never understand what it's saying. And it usually just sounds like somebody breathing rudely into my recorder. However, these voices I get via the spirit box and my odd box are considered EVPs as well, because they are electronic voices, so to speak. So I think the spirit box and these apps they have out now where it's just a phonetic generator, and again, it said that the spirits can take whatever noise is coming across on these apps and manipulate it. I mean, it sounds so hokey, especially with like a tablet app, but I've seen it work. Like, I've listened to these apps and I pretty much know what sounds they make and things like that. And then we'll have it at a location and all of a sudden it'll like say one of our names when it's never said one of our names before ever. So that's all considered an EVP now. There's just so many, the more technology that comes out, the more, you know, everybody's mind is blown. So I prefer that style EVP because I find it much easier to understand. And like I say, it's like a real-time conversation with a ghost.
We're going to the wild card line, Kane in Michigan. Good morning, Kane. You're on with Kitsy Duncan.
Yeah. Hi, George.
Howdy.
Hi. Your last name is Duncan. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, Ms. Duncan. Pleased to meet you. I'm up here in the UP of Michigan. It's pretty well no man's land. A lot of bears and wolves and what do you want to call it? Not too many people. But we were a copper mining capital back in the 1800s and even before that. The natives mined copper. There is a legend. We have a place called the Porcupine Mountains. They're not like the Rockies, but they are hilly. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyways, there was a copper mine, and this is a legend, okay, that they were really got, they hit the vein. They were pulling out tons of copper. They broke through this chamber, okay, and once they did that, things started to go awry. Men were crushed by the wheel carts, okay, all kinds of bad stuff were happening. They went to a Native American, I guess you folks would call him shaman, medicine man, mm-hmm. and he said, you have broken through to evil. Ever since that, this legend has gotten a name. It's called the Copper Hawk. This being is a ghost of some other dimension. I can't tell you what, but it's a truism to the point when it's like right around spring when this thing starts to come alive. Don't ask me, maybe it's the weather's turning nice. But
yeah.
I wouldn't go up there. Copper Harbor is like in the end of the peninsula, okay, way up above me, okay? I wouldn't go up there for all the money in China, believe me, at that time. And weird stuff.
What was this called again?
I'm sorry?
What was the spirit's name again?
The spirit or the demon or... They say it's an entity. I don't know the truth. It's called a copper hawk, like H-O-C-K.
I've never heard this story before. It's fascinating.
Yeah, I wouldn't, you know, you take all your blessings and your crosses. I wouldn't go up there. I've heard too much to think. I'm not going to dabble in something that I don't understand. But yeah, it's an old legend.
Well, Kane, thanks for sharing that with us. You're going to have to add that one to your list, Kitsy. That's a good, pretty good story. You do take precautions when you leave these places that you investigate. You have a little ceremony, right?
We do. We take some sage and we smudge ourselves. And what we do is we set our intentions that, you know, we are still of love, light, peace, and positivity. And that we intend to stay that way. And that we ask any spirits that are thinking of hitchhiking home with us not to, and that they stay where they're at.
First time caller, Eric in Naples, Florida. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning.
You're on with Kitsy.
I get through because this has been bothering me since it happened. And I always thought spirits was a bunch of hoo-ha till it happened to me. It happened January 5th at 2:35 a.m. in the morning this year, and I think about it every day. I didn't just have a sighting. I had an interaction. I call her Rose because I think it's pretty rude, but she was literally 3 feet away from me. Any closer, I could have touched her. It started off, I woke up, I was terrified. It was just a black figure. I thought it was an intruder. I figured, okay, I'm going to get shot, stabbed, or beaten. Well, I was motionless. I wanted it to the intruder to think I was still asleep.
Yeah.
Well, without moving or screaming, all of a sudden this black figure turned into a woman. I had a nightlight on, so I saw her very clearly. She had short, wavy blonde hair.
Like shape-shifted?
Well, she went from just this completely black figure against the wall to a woman.
Wow.
I was like, whoa. But she looked like a totally innocent woman, so all of a sudden I started feeling at ease.
And so this is
theory, like I was saying with the EVPs earlier, this is how these spirits manifest. So it seems scary to start off, and then maybe they're able to finally turn into what they want you to see. So I'm glad you gave it a chance and an open mind.
So has it happened again, Eric?
No, but I stayed awake for the next like 4 months
because
I've got like a million questions.
Yeah, like who was it?
Pardon?
Like who was it? I mean, you didn't recognize her, right?
No, not at all. Complete stranger.
And why did she choose you? I mean, I understand your questions. That's why I do this. You know, I mean, It's healthy to have these kinds of questions. And no, you're not crazy. You probably saw something that night. And maybe she'll come back. Maybe she'll come to you in a dream. You never know.
Well, she stayed there for about a full minute. And I asked her, I said, of course I lied. I said, it's a little dark in here. Do I know you? And she didn't say anything. She just stood there staring at me. She had a grin on her face, and she actually wore glasses, which I thought was kind of funny.
Awesome. That's huge. You're a lucky man.
So I'm waiting for an answer. She doesn't say anything. She just stares at me with this grin on her face. And then I said, why are you here? What are you doing here? Why are you here? And she still just stood there staring at me with this grin on her face.
Well, Eric, maybe you're going to have to email Kitsy and her team, and maybe they can jam on down to Naples, Florida. She's at the Oddity Files. You can find her online. But thanks for the call, and thanks for sharing that story. West of the Rockies, John in California. Good morning, John.
Yes, hello.
Yeah, how you doing?
Oh my gosh, I'm a first-time caller. A long-time listener.
What's on your mind?
Okay, so I've lived at my parents' house. It was always very strange, but I had an incident where I still remember to this day. I was playing with like a juice bottle cap and playing with it, and it landed. And next thing you know is I hear it roll across the room, land right in front of me, and make the same noise, and land right back in front of me. And I was so scared. I just remember jumping up, and my father came in, and he was like, what's going on? Told him what happened. And he asked me what I was going to do, but I just said, I'll just sleep in the living room. And I was terrified, scared.
Understandably, yeah.
But that's not the only thing that's happened there. Because whatever's at my parents' house, it makes like a weird smell from time to time. It smells like fish, but no one in my family eats fish. It smells rotten. It also will smell like rotten potatoes that have been there for weeks, for so long.
Does everybody smell it or just you?
Luckily enough, a couple of years ago during Christmas time, my father also smelled it with me. But it was only in one spot. So it was like the entrance of the kitchen. We both smelled it. And you take like a couple steps forward, a couple steps back, there would be no smell. And we looked around, there was no rotten fruit, no rotten meat, no nothing in that area. We went and sat down, watched the news for a little bit, came back, and it was gone. Like within like the time span of like 15 minutes. But that's not the only time that's happened. It's happened like so many times, I can't even tell you.
So, Kitsy, is that common with the smells? Is that common?
Honestly,
the smells?
It is. It is. And sometimes, like I told you, my crazy is sometimes I hear them, sometimes I see them when other people don't. I call it my superpower as well. And sometimes people will smell things that other people don't that is actually paranormal related.
And do you have cases where your crew is in a building? Thanks for the call, by the way, John. And you see something and somebody else is looking in the same spot and they don't see it?
Yes. And it makes me so mad because then I really do feel like I've lost my mind at that point. But then, fortunately, sometimes evidence comes around and validates my claim. Like, I'll ask, who did I just see? And then a name comes over. So, yes, I'm crazy to an extent, but yes, I'm not crazy to an extent. And, you know, the boys will hear things or they'll see shadows that I don't hear. I don't know why it happens that way. I don't know if it's certain people's brains are on different wavelengths than the others, so they're able to see different things than others. These are the answers I want, George. Do you have them, the answers?
Sorry, no, you're asking the wrong guy. We've been talking about I'd Rather Talk to Dead People, your book. One quick question before we go about the Oddity Files. Now, you've had how many seasons of this now?
We have 3 seasons on Amazon Prime. They're super short, self-produced, self-put together, and it includes pretty much all the investigations I talked about today. I also have a podcast called Oddity Files where we talk a lot about the paranormal, but I don't know if you or your listeners have noticed this. I'm a little snarky at times. So we got a little grain of salt, a lot of humor, and a little bit of attitude on the podcast Oddity Files.
Well, that works. Kitsy Duncan, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Good luck in your adventures. Keep us in the loop, okay?
Thank you so much. I'm supposed to tell you Doug Bradley is a huge fan of yours, George.
Okay. Thank you. Hi, Doug.
Thanks.
Thanks. Thanks also to my earlier guests, James Fox, Liesl Field, and Salma Siddick, and to my colleagues there at Coast to Coast, Michael Cosio and Donna Walker, Sean Latasseur, Dan Galone, and Chris Boros. I'll be back in about 20 hours from now with a great show. Sci-fi giant novelist and screenwriter Ernie Cline, who wrote Ready Player One. He's got Ready Player Two coming out. And with cosmic witch Susan Demeter. Good night, everyone.